And now, a word from our sponsors.
Need a catch-up session on what you missed last week? Now you're listening to ArchD Radio, the podcast mix.
ArchD Life FM, James here with you this evening. I hope you're having a wonderful one. I've got a very special guest in today and I'm very excited to chat with him. We've chatted a little bit beforehand, just enough for me to say, okay, we've got to stop talking now because there's so much I want to ask and I want to hear it for the first time when I speak with you. Andrew Kirkbride, thank you so much for being here with us today on ArchD.
Hello, James.
Deacon Andrew Kirkbride.
Yes.
Do you ask people to call you that? Is that a thing or is that just something that people say?
No, that's just something that people say.
So for people who are not familiar with sort of like Catholic Church ministry, what is a deacon?
Yeah, a deacon is an ordained minister of the church whose, I think, main role is to show the love of God outside the church, somebody outside right. The parameters of the church, be in the marketplace.
Be in the marketplace. All right. I get that. That's lovely. But that you can be active inside like a church for masses. There are certain things you can do, aren't there?
Absolutely. So liturgically, I'm in the heart of the faith.
Yeah.
And then I take that heart out to the fringes, express, share, gather together as much information as I can of what's happening on the fringes and bring that back to the heart of the church to see where can we best serve in ministry.
That's awesome. And I really want to crack that open and hear what that really means for you, like really is a hands and feet thing and the sort of experiences that you've had along the way. And also in doing a little bit of sort of like research on you before you arrived, I'd kind of expected to see a certain kind of story, I guess sort of vaguely similar to the ones of a lot of other guests that we've had here who've been involved in Catholic Church ministry, but yours is so drastically different. And we're going to crack that open as well. Andrew, before we kind of get into the later stuff, which and for people who may not know you as a deacon, they may know you as someone else. Mm. And we'll get into this is your Batman thing. We'll get into that in a little bit. But for you, going back to the very early experiences that you remember of church, was it something that was a part of your family when you were growing up?
It was.
Yeah.
Wyala boy.
Wyala.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
St. Teresa's Parish, working there with the family. My dad was a pharmacist in Wyala and stayed at home with my brothers and sisters. And every Sunday was Mass. And probably the key part of that in my own faith development was to be able to serve on the altar.
Right. How young were you when you started doing that?
Oh, maybe 7 or 8.
Right.
Yeah.
And did you really want to do this? Was this something that you wanted?
It was, yeah. And just because I wanted to understand what are they doing up there waving their arms about and walking around this stone thing in the middle of the room. And there was a wonderful man, Jock McDabbitt, who was the sacristan, who just shared his faith with us as young people about what's actually going on and where God fits in the Mass. And so from there, it's sort of become something that I'd been drawn to ever since.
Right. And so from there, so as a 7-year-old sort of like working as an altar server there, how did that kind of change for you as you sort of started to get a bit older, maybe even start high school? What was that like? Because that's a big formative time when a lot of things can change in someone's life.
Yeah, it is. I went to boarding school, Sacred Heart. So
okay, down here in Adelaide.
So that was a big change as well. That sort of broke it away from the parish work that I was doing, connected me with the Maris brothers there at Sacred Heart, and just sort of had a sense that God's presence was with me, I think, from family, stood with me ever since, really, went through. So, and then joined the Antioch crew. Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. Joined the Antioch crew.
So the one that down there at Brighton.
Was it Glenelg at the time?
Glenelg, okay.
Yeah. Yep. So we started Brighton.
Antioch. Okay.
Yeah.
What year are we talking about
We're
here?
We're talking 85.
85, okay, yeah. Wow.
So a while back.
Yeah.
That's right.
And what was that like early days of Antioch back in those days?
Look,
people talk about that as if it was such a wonderful moment and a great moment of community, like newness and those sorts of things.
Yeah, look, for me probably it was just keeping my friends together. That was the key thing. After post-school, friends close by, something in common that was bigger than, you know, just our family and our careers. There was something that kept us in touch with each other. So that was really important.
So you were down here in Adelaide and you stayed.
Yes.
Was that what happened?
That's
so
right.
Did the family move or did they stay? How did it work?
They did. The family moved from Wyala
Yeah.
down to Glenelg.
And how was that for them?
Yeah, that was great.
Because it's culturally very big, because I've spent a lot of time up doing work in Whyalla in different areas, and it's a very different thing. I mean, in some ways, there are some parts of Whyalla that I just absolutely adore. Watching a weather system come in off that Port Augusta Road towards Whyalla, it can be like something out of a science fiction film. Oh, it's amazing.
Right. Yeah, it connects you with the nature, connects you with what's going on with the world around you as well, like that. And I was probably spent a lot of my time looking out the classroom window at the weather coming in and not paying any attention to what was going on in the classroom.
What did they find, your family, once they moved down? Was it a fairly easy transition for them, or was there a few things that they found? Like, for them, what was the things that kind of stuck out as being different?
Oh, look, they got involved in the parish in Glenelg as support for the Antioch group. Big difference probably with having the family back together, because my sister was in boarding school, my brother was looking to go to boarding school, and we sort of left home at, you know, a young age, 13 or 14, and now we're all back in the same house again. So that's made it a little bit more conducive to family connections and things. So
cool. Awesome. Now, we'll be right back. I want to talk a little bit about a moment that happened when you went with your girlfriend to like a parish gathering, because something to do with the fact that you didn't want her just to go with your friend and leave you out of it. And that led on to a whole nother world for you. We're going to be talking about that in just a second.
And now,
where we left off, you come down to Adelaide as a boarder at Sacred Heart College. After you finished, your family had all come down as well. You're all living together in the same house. Had you decided at this particular point what you wanted to do for a career at that point?
Oh, absolutely.
You had?
Yeah, since year nine, architecture.
Really? Why were you so sure about that at year nine?
Oh, look, I was always playing and building. We did a couple of renovations in our house in Whyalla, and I'd got all the offcuts of everything. Put my own building together in the back of the yard.
Yeah? What was it? What did you build?
Oh, put a little cubby house together with doors and windows, and using whatever I could find around the place, and just actually thought about how the structure of this thing would hold and what I'd be doing in it and how it all works. My family were big into the health, like pharmacy and things like that. And I wasn't a big blood person. So I thought for something that didn't have much blood involved in it, I'd do that. And architecture seemed to be creative, and I'd like to try it out.
Yeah. Wow, that's fascinating. So anyway, so you leave school, you go straight into architecture, studying at whereabouts, like Adelaide or Flinders or
UniSA. Yeah.
And you enjoyed it?
I did.
Straight away, it was something that seemed like this is the right path for me?
It did. It opened up my whole eyes, because for the first time, I was looking at history.
What do
before
you mean?
Before that, I was a science and maths person. My arts was always struggling and suffering. I didn't get the grades at school I needed, so I focused on the sciences and maths. But then once the architecture degree kicked in, the history kicked in.
Because there's so much history in architecture. Is that what you mean?
That's exactly what I mean.
Righto.
We're putting these buildings together because of the way we've done it for hundreds and thousands of years. So what is it that we can learn about that and how that fits into place? And
wow.
That tied into my, you know, fitting into the big picture.
Going on. So at some point, your girlfriend says, I'm going to go to this gathering at the church. Your says, this is cool. No, your friend's coming with me.
Yes.
So that'll be all right. You go, nah. That's cool. No, I'll come. All right.
Absolutely.
And take it from there. So where was this that you went and what happened?
Yeah, this was a gathering at the Wavell Showgrounds, 4,000 plus Christians from all over the city.
Wow, okay.
Yeah.
What was that? What was that called?
It was called a United Charismatic Convention.
Okay.
I wouldn't have gone unless there was a Catholic priest speaking, which there was at the time.
Yeah.
First time one had ever spoken there, Father Tom Forrest was speaking. And so I thought, I'm going to go along. I'm not going to let my girlfriend go by herself with this mate of mine. Mm-hmm. So I went along, and he just expressed the gospel in a way I hadn't heard before.
And how was that?
Well, he said, look, Andrew, it's like he was talking to me.
Yeah. That's what it's like. You know, a great homily can be that way, can't it?
Yeah. And he says, Andrew, it's not what you've done that can hurt me. It's what you haven't done. And he said, there are sometimes places and things where you see a need and you don't meet it, and you cause grief and pain to those around you because you're not stepping in and helping out. So, and that really spoke to me about the moments in my life where I'd seen needs and not met it and stepped back and thought, no, this is not right. And right. I just felt like I needed to change.
Yeah. And so, then so then what does the next – because we always hear these stories of people who undergo these big changes, but it's always the moment after that moment.
Yes.
What did that next moment – what was that moment for you?
That moment for me was, oh, I need help. I need God's help in this because I can't do it by myself. So, God, can you help me? And God stepped in and basically said, all right then, sure, you know, I've revealed something to you about the nature of the world and nature of you and how we're called to help and serve each other, then see where you go from there. And so with my young girlfriend, we decided that we'd see what opportunities arose to do what we could. Basically looked at what we're good at doing and how we can get better at it to help other people.
And so what was the first step? What did you do?
We first thing we did, we sponsored a child, overseas child, that night within half an hour.
Wow.
We said, we need to do something about, we've got resources, we've got a little bit of pocket money in our back pocket. Let's just put some towards looking after a child in the third world. That's the first step.
Right.
And from there it was like, okay, then we need to share this with other people. How can we share what's been revealed to us to others?
Yeah, and this is all pre-internet, of course. So this is like, how do you then go about sharing stuff like that?
Absolutely. So we went home the next day, spoke to my mate, said, this is what happened to me. This is how I feel. This is what God's done. And they said, really? That's great. Let's see what happened with me. And so they stepped up as well. And within probably 6 months, we probably had about 20 or 30 of my closest friends all looking at what they could do to use their gifts to serve God.
That must have been remarkable.
It was amazing.
To bear witness to that.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was something beyond what we ever anticipated or expected.
Hey, this is Emma.
Hi, I'm Zach.
Hey, everybody. This is Matt Marr.
That's Tom.
That's Riley.
And now...
this is Archd.
Archd Radio 107.9
Live.
James here with you with our very special guest, Andrew Kirkbride, Deacon Andrew Kirkbride. He works here at Catholic Education SA head office with me, but we've never really had much of a chance to catch up. We've seen each other at a few team gatherings, but nothing else besides that because you work in a very different area to me, and so we don't really get much of a chance to do that. But we're getting a debrief now. Now, I guess the next step, and I told you this when you first arrived and when I was doing a bit of back looking at you, trying to get a bit of a sense of who you were. And when I first heard your name that you're working with us, said, oh, Andrew Kirkbride, said, oh, I wonder if he's any relation to that Kirkbride Architects family. He's probably a cousin or something like that, and thinking in that way. But it's you. You're the Kirkbride of Kirkbride Architects. So from, I guess, so picking up the story where you were, so you've made this affirmation, your girlfriend and you've sponsored this child, you've spread the word to your friends and your being a part of being a positive change in the world in the spirit of your Catholic faith. And so you continue going through university and you become a qualified architect. From there, what was the progression from you in like starting to work and then I guess starting your own firm and making that decision?
The journey was, you know, finished the degree basically because I had a sense that what I started, I always liked to finish.
Sure.
And so I'd started
the degree. It's a good philosophy.
I started the degree before this experience at the convention and all the rest of it. So I thought, no, I'm going to continue with what I've started, finish the degree. As an architect, one of the things they encourage you to do is to travel the world, have a look at what's around the planet,
really?
So that you can get a bit of a sense of how things are done in other parts of the world, especially the design sense.
Yeah.
And
it makes sense. Yeah.
So we spent, by that stage, by the time I'd finished architecture, I'd was married.
Mm-hmm.
So the two of us went overseas. We both got British passports. So we both stayed over there and we traveled through Europe in a tent. And I looked at all the buildings that I wanted to see while I was there. Then we got work over there. Libby was a social worker and I'm an architect, so we worked there. And then when we decided to start a family, we came back to Adelaide.
Mm-hmm.
And when we came back to Adelaide, we wanted to find a home base, a faith base.
Mm.
So we joined a little Catholic community, Filipino-based Couples for Christ community.
Yeah, I saw that pop up and I wondered whether or not that was the same community that I know of as part of their community.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
That was an interesting choice. Why did that feel like home to you?
Because it was family based,
right?
Really,
right.
And it was scripture based, and it was something that we wanted to really raise our family within.
Yeah.
So that sort of community understanding we couldn't find anywhere else really in our sort of local vicinity that we could get that support from.
How did you find then trying to be really, really active and so called to ministry in the way that you were, and then say, oh, I'm also going to start like my own company as well in a completely different, well, not maybe tangentially different kind of like area. What was those conversations with your wife like and making that decision? I can imagine that would have been really hard.
Yeah, it was. And we did wrestle with a lot of things in those places, especially with a young family. The architecture business goes up and down, as it always does.
Yeah.
And I decided that I'd probably have more flexibility to look after the children and also do some of the pastoral care work that I was doing if I ran my own business from home, which I set up and did. And so we sort of kicked that off in that way.
But it got bigger than that, didn't it?
It's
not just at home anymore, because I mean the name is a known name as an architect firm in Adelaide. Like, when was there a particular moment where things really did kind of get big for you, like where it really hit a tipping point?
Look, it did, and that was when it was going the lowest.
Really?
Yeah. So it was struggling along. I wasn't bringing in a lot of income. I was doing a lot of pastoral work, and my wife said to me, Andrew, it's not working for the family.
Right.
So, you know, I'm working hard. We're not making ends meet. We need to do something. You need to decide whether you're going to go full-time ministry or whether you're going to go do your architecture business.
Gotcha.
Do one or the other, and that's it. So we had a week of discernment and prayer. And at the end of that week, I went back and said, look, I think my heart's in ministry. I want to do that. And so I went and knocked on the door of the Archbishop and said, what can I do? Here I am to serve. And hoping to get some position. There was heads of Catholic churches or heads of Christian churches had a chaplaincy thing I was looking at doing. And so anyway, it came up and I spoke to the Archbishop's office and they said, oh, look, you know, Andrew, very well and good. We need architects to understand the faith for a start. Also, have you considered looking at the ministry formation program and becoming a deacon? And also, would you consider it going on the diocesan pastoral council? And there was a couple of other bodies they asked me to go on to. And I said, oh, okay, I'll do all of that. And I went home to my wife and said, no, there's no job for me, but they've asked me to do all these other things.
They've asked for more time away from the decisions that we were talking about.
That's right. That's right. So what I ended up doing was writing some letters to bishops outside the diocese that I'd known from bishops in Port Pirie and bishops in Darwin to say, look, you know, I'm a Catholic architect. Got any work for me? I'm here. And opportunities opened up from there.
Right. So you got jobs doing work for churches then?
Yes.
Is that what happened?
That's what happened.
And that was the big tipping point for you?
It was. So they said, look, you know, we haven't got a lot of things on for you, but you can do a little bit of work here for St. Vinny's, do a little bit of work here for Centre Care and a little bit here and there and around the place. And then I won a job in Port Pirie doing the regional library. And so that raised the awareness of the people in the area, and another architect approached me and asked me to join forces with them. So I did that for 3 years until they retired, and then I kept it going. And they had a market in the aged care, which got me a foot into the aged care market.
Right.
So I'm doing aged care, education, a little bit of education through the state government, and the church work.
Yeah. And so how big is the company now?
There's only a handful of people now.
Right.
Yeah. So at its heyday, maybe you would have had 15, 20 people working for it.
Wow.
And now we just really need to be manageable for me
Of course. So, and we'll talk about that in a second, because now we basically bring it up to now, the work that you're doing now, knowing that you've got these two things on. And as someone who is, you know, we were talking about before about, you know, when you've got one job in one area, another job in another area, and then you've also got family as well. And family can be as big as the two other jobs combined.
That's right.
How you manage to do that. And if you've got some words of wisdom for me, I'd really appreciate it.
And now,
starting from very, very early life in the church in Wyala, growing up, being a big part of youth ministry, and then also becoming a very successful architect, almost by chance in a way, the way that it happens. I mean, you're a good architect, I'm sure, but becoming a very successful one is a whole nother kettle of fish altogether. So for you now, you've got you've got the architecture company. You're also working here with us, doing work in the, was it the family and parish-based catechesis area?
That's right.
Yeah.
Catholic Identity and Mission, Sacraments and Initiation, things like that.
The name constantly keeps changing, so I'll just try to keep track of things. as well as the stuff that you're doing as a deacon out in parishes as well, and your family. I find myself struggling to find the question. How do you do it all?
Yeah, that's a good question, and it's a question that's it's constantly being reviewed and revised. You know, you find yourself leaning too far one direction, and you got to balance yourself back the other way. And it's just a matter of trying to carve out some space and some time into your life and into your day, and listening to those around you to say, Andrew, you're doing too much of this. Andrew, you're not doing enough of that. And so that's and those that love you most are the closest to you. You listen to most,
of course.
And so they're the ones you've got to. And sometimes it's hard because you just want to do what you want to do.
Yeah.
and so it's just a matter of being disciplined and managing to do that. It is a tricky place, and it's getting, I think, structuring your week and your day.
Yeah.
Accordingly.
I mean, I find it's really interesting when you're a driven person, the way that you are. The first thing, the biggest schism, I guess, in all of that is that you're really driven, you're really focused on certain things, but then at the same time, that whole notion is just not conducive to relationships with people and those sorts of things. How do you find, is there a particular thing that you do in order to stay very attentive to those around you while not kind of losing the things that you're focused on and needing to sort of like achieve to stay on the ball?
People are people, and you just got to meet them where they're at. And I think that's the key thing. And so whether I'm an architect on the building site and walking around and talking to an electrician or a plumber or a contractor about one part of his life or another, it's all tied together. Whether he's doing a good job on the tools, or whether or not he's going well at home with his family, or his mum's okay and things like that, you just enable people to have an opportunity to share and to be themselves in a way that engages with them, so that everything they do becomes part of the whole picture of life.
Yeah. Has there been a moment for you where I guess your two worlds have really collided and you've had kind of like an inspirational, real Spirit of God moment in ministry while working as an architect? Has it ever happened like that?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And it's quite inspiring. Some work in Darwin, did some work on the near the cathedral up there, and we're doing a community centre, and it was just working in with some of the community, just to get it to work, and thinking, well, the skills I've got as a designer and the skills I've got as an architect is coming together with the big picture of what it means to be human in this planet and the environment, and working through to all of the forgiveness and reconciliation work that we're doing in the whole church. So that was a real moment of now we're doing it.
Yeah. We are here every week with a brand new podcast version of the ArchD Show. Check out all of our other podcasts, including the latest school life content on our website, archdradio.com, and find us on social media at ArchD Radio for heaps of behind-the-scenes stuff. Or you can catch the show when it airs on Life FM every Wednesday night from 9, every Saturday night from 10. We will see you again very soon. Bye.